Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Father of our Messiah Yeshua, our Redeemer, the one that formed every one of us in detail and with care, as our brother was sharing with us today. The one that has concern for every detail of our lives. To you we lift up our voices. We bless your name beyond and before anything else. And we ask, O Lord, that your Ruach HaKodesh will inspire us to receive your word. O Father, we submit to you, to your kindness, to your mercy, to your wisdom. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Redeemer. Amen. Hallelujah. We got the Mishpatim. That's the name of the parasha, or the portion for today, which is in Exodus 21. The whole chapter all the way to chapter 24 in verse 18. Mishpatim is the Hebrew for judgments, instructions. And is the weekly, is the 18 weekly Torah portion of the cycle of the Torah readings, is the number 6 in Exodus. I'm not going to give you the Haftorah or Messianic writings. I'm just going to go straight to a summary of this parasha. This is following the revelation of Sinai after the 10 words, the 10 utterances of the 10 commandments. It was after Passover. It was after the redemption of the people of Israel. Why? Because the regulations and Torah could not be kept in Egypt. You cannot serve God when you are in slavery. You got to be first, be free, be removed from your bondage, and then you can obey the Lord the way He wants. So the Lord establishes a series of regulations, what we will call the Constitution. And if we look at it from the marriage perspective of the Lord being the husband and Israel the wife, is the ketuvah, is the agreement. This parasha includes laws concerning the servants, penalties for murder, kidnapping, assault, penalties for theft. There are several civil laws concerning the granting of loans, compensation for damages, the responsibility of the property owners, renters, servants, and rules governing the conduct of justice or the courts of law. And you saw that, and you were thinking that was part of the Constitution of the U.S. It is not. It goes back to Torah. This parasha also includes regulations warning against the mistreatment of foreigners, the observance of the seasonal festivals, and the agricultural gifts. It has some prohibitions, and also have mitzvahs of a prayer. Altogether, Mishpatim contains 53 mitzvot, or commandments. It has 23 imperative and 30 prohibitions. And finally, the Lord promises to bring the people of Israel to the promised land and warns them against assuming the pagan ways of Canaan. And that is, do not do what the residents do. Do not do according to the laws. Do not teach their teachings, and do not keep their customs. I could go a whole hour on that, but I'm going to fight the temptation. Psalm 19:7-4 says, the Torah of Adonai is perfect. The instructions of Adonai is perfect. They're storing the soul. The testimony of Adonai is trustworthy, making the simple wise. The precepts of the Lord, they're right, giving joy to the heart. The mitzvot, His commandments, are true. They're not a burden. Giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Adonai are true and altogether righteous. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, more than much pure gold. And they're sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. It was written by David, a loving of the God of Israel. He loved him with all his heart, and he loved his word. There was no book of Judges or anything else after that written. It was simply Torah. And see how well he describes it. So thinking about that, we're going to be talking about Torah today. We're going to be talking about this Mishpatim parasha. And again, I want to bring attention to a couple of verses, and we're going to be looking at several from the scripture. So keep your scripture open, because we're going to be jumping from one book to another. I usually don't like to teach that way, but this subject is pretty cool. I actually saw a rabbi, a Messianic rabbi, teaching about this. And I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. You read the scripture, and then you hear somebody say something and somebody else something. You put pieces together, and you come up with your own teaching, your own message for yourself. And then you say, hey, I'm going to share this with my friends. We have a couple of interesting verses here. Again, right in the middle of a bunch of regulations that are seemingly unrelated. And they're introducing us to a different subject. Let us take a look at it. Exodus 23, verses 20 and 23, and I'm reading from the Living Version, the Tree of Life version, TLV. Behold, again, this is after the Lord has given all these instructions. Behold, says the Lord, I am sending my angel before you, or Malach, my messenger before you, to guard you, to shomer, that's the word there, to guard you, as you keep your commandments, to guard you on the way, and to bring you into the place that I have prepared. Watch for him, referring to the angel, and listen, shema, pay attention to his voice. Do not rebel against him, because he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name, this is serious, the name of the Lord is in him. But if you listen closely to his voice and do everything I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and adversary to your adversaries. For my messenger will go before you and bring you to the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Now, we have a couple of problems here. Well, maybe apparent problems. The first issue that we see is that God implies that he is not going to the promised land, but that he is sending a malach, a messenger, in his place. By the way, this is not a being with huge wings, a halo around him, an idea that we have inherited from paganism. That's not it. But this is a messenger, an emissary, an apostle. That's where we get the word apostle, emissary. Someone sent to complete a task. Now, this is something interesting. In Exodus 3, the Lord says, Exodus 3:17, for those that want to take a look at it, the Lord says, I will bring you up of the affliction of Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. In Leviticus 26:12, the Lord is speaking. Again, says to the people and to Moshe, I will walk among you, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. I am Adonai, your God, who brought you from out of the land of Egypt. In these two verses, there's no doubt that God is saying, I will take you, right? He's not saying, I will send an emissary, or I will have somebody lead you in. Is that right? I mean, am I the only one saying this? Now, there are a couple of implications here. In Exodus 23, 21, 22. Do not rebel against him because he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if you, A, listen closely to his voice, and B, do everything I say. It's like, if you listen closely to his voice and do everything I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and adversaries to your adversaries. The first implication is that he, Adonai, says, do not rebel against him because he will not pardon. That means forgive. So this malach, this messenger, can also forgive sins. Do you get that? Now I ask, are you listening? Because if you're not listening, his angel will not forgive you. Does that make sense? The second implication is that this messenger's voice is no other than the voice of Adonai. God speaks, he says things through him. God is saying things through this angel's mouth. So why all the warnings? Why the warnings, says the Lord? We ask the Lord, because he says, my name is in him. Do we get all that? Is that complicated? His name, the name of the Almighty God, is in this messenger. Hallelujah. This is pretty sweet. Now, let's dig a little more deeper here. Rabbi Shlomo Yishachi, commonly known as Rashi, he lived from 1040 to 1105 of our era. He says that concerning my name is within him, that our sages, the people that have wisdom, they had studied this stuff, they said, this is concerning the messenger of the angel Metatron. Wow, this is a different word. Whose name is like the name of his master. This is in Sanhedrin 38b. The numerical value of his name, Metatron, is equal to 314, that of El Shaddai, which is the Almighty God. So, wow, what is going on here? And by the way, this points to a Jewish idea that goes even earlier than the first century, but it's unique to this messenger of Adonai. Actually, this Metatron is not a Hebrew word. Metatron is a transliteration of a Hebrew concept. From Meta, which is a Greek for being close to, and throne, where we get the word throne. So this is concerning the one that is close or next to the throne. What throne? The Almighty God throne. So that's the idea there. My name is in him, says the Lord. Metatron is identified in Jewish tradition, and not all, but some, with the term of the lesser Yohevahei, the lesser tetragrammaton. I had to separate that. Had to put lines, tetra, grammar, tone. You're trying to get a Puerto Rican to say something in English, or it just doesn't work. Talmudic version is quoted by Karaite scholar Kirsani, saying that this is the way it is. Kirkisani. Scholar Kirkisani, he's the one that this name is related to the tetra, grammar, tone. And there are a variety of views on this point. I don't know if you remember where Rabbi Shapira from Ahavat Amin was here. He spent 3 hours trying to get some of this going on and mentioned the Metatron. Even Dr. Daniel Boyarin has written about it, about the subject in the Jewish Gospels. There's a lot of information there that we don't have the time to really get into it. And it's not my intention to elaborate. But it is clear that we're not talking about mythology here, but Scripture. Amen? This is about, believe it or not, Mashiach. But how do we know this is true? Well, Torah requires at least two testimonies. So I'm going to try to go through a couple. You remember Paul, Shaul? The Scripture says, or actually he says, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, he writes that he was taken to the third heaven, whether in his body or outside the body, he doesn't know. Only God knows, he says. He was caught up into paradise, and he heard the words too sacred to tell. So sacred and so mysterious, which a human is not permitted to say. This Paul was a Jewish trained rabbi, was trained by Gamaliel. He met Yeshua in a vision, and you know the rest of the story. His life was turned completely around. Now, he is in the Messianic writings that we know about Paul. But do we know about anyone else in the Jewish tradition that has something similar? Well, guess what? I found that there's somebody like that. His name is Elisha ben Abuya. He was a Tanaim from Tanah, repeaters, teachers. They were rabbis of the first century. There were rabbinic sages whose views were recorded in the Mishnah, one of the early writings that was put together about the traditions. This group was active from the year 10 to the year 220. Elisha ben Abuya was a rabbi and Jewish religious authority. An authority was born in Jerusalem before the year 70. But guess what happened? He had a vision. He had a vision to the point that those friends and those rabbis that were his friends, supposedly, they began to change his view around him, and they call him heretical. They thought he was going crazy. The Talmud says they should not repeat his teachings. They call him the other one, the changed one, because he entered paradise, he says, and he saw in a vision, and he says he saw Metatron sitting next to the throne of the Father. And then he says, wow, there is two powers in heaven. He sees the Ancients of Days, the one he knows as Adonai. And then next to him, he sees what he's in mind is Metatron. The one that sits next to the throne. And then he realizes, hold on here, there are two powers in heaven. Because he said that, they told him, man, you are nuts. You are crazy. Actually, in some Jewish writings, some early rabbis, earlier than our century, they said that he became a Christian. Can you believe that? He is one of those Christians. Well, let's see. Does this sound like a strange theology? Think about it. Don't we all like to sing, to him who sits on the throne. Come on, let's do it. And unto the Lamb, to him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb, be blessing and glory and honor forever. Hallelujah. Cool. We're singing to who? At the throne. We're singing to him who sits on the throne next to him. Hallelujah. How do we know that? In Revelation 5, I told you you're going to be looking at different books. Revelation 5, 11 to 14, we have another witness. Another witness. How many have we covered already? Cool, you guys are paying attention. Two. And this is Yohanan, the beloved disciple of the Messiah, saying, then I looked and I heard the voice of many messengers. Okay, it doesn't say messengers, it says angels. But I'm a literalist, so I'm going to go to the literal meaning of it. I really get upset when people change things and translate the Torah the way it not should be. But that's another story. Messengers. I heard the voice of many messengers around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. The number was myriads of myriads and thousands upon thousands. And they were chanting with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive the power, riches, wisdom, might, honor, glory, and blessings. Hallelujah. Come on. It doesn't get you excited or what? Man, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. To him be the glory, the might, the honor forever. Hallelujah. We need to bring the team back and start dancing. Hallelujah. Yes. Mardukai, you ready? All right. Let's see. To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessings and honor and glory and power forever. Blessed be his name. Do we have enough witnesses? Yes. But do we have any other place in the scripture that we are told about this messenger? This special messenger on this parasha. Deuteronomy. That's the English word to say, right? Yes, ma'am. Deuteronomy. Oh, it's good. All right, Deuteronomy. Chapter 18, verses 18. It says, this is the Lord speaking to Moshe. I will raise up a prophet like you. Oh, now, guys, pay attention, okay? I will raise up a prophet like you. For them among their brothers. And I will put my words. Listen to this. I will put my words in his mouth. And he will tell you. He will speak to them about all I command to him. Does this sound familiar? I just read about it when I started. And it says in verse 19, now whoever doesn't listen to my words that this prophet declares in my name, I myself will call him to account. This is serious. Now we have this prophet here that the Lord says, I will put my words in his mouth. And he also says that you should listen to him because if you do not, you'll be in trouble. Isn't that the same thing he told us about this other angel that we talked about at the beginning? Same words. Am I making something up here? Huh? I think it's there. Thank you, brother. Now, again, this sounds familiar. Listen, whoever this prophet is, he will be like Moshe. And guess what? I don't know if you haven't heard this. We just learned this and repeated this in our class of Hayesod. Moshe is known as the first Messiah. So Messiah is going to be known. He will be like Moshe. So now we should listen. So obviously this makes reference to Mashiach. This prophet is Messiah. Now, again, we can get another supporting fact here. When the Father speaks about Yeshua ben Joseph, our rabbi, we hear something very interesting. Let's take a look at the good news. Matthew chapter 17. I'm pretty sure many of you will remember this verse. After 6 days, verse 1, chapter 17. After 6 days, Yeshua takes him, Kepha, and Jacob, and Jonathan, his brother, and brings them up to a high mountain by themselves. Now he was transformed before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moshe and Elijah appeared to them, and they were talking to Yeshua. And while he was still talking, suddenly, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, the voice of the Lord, the voice from the cloud, is saying, "This is my son, whom I love, with him am well pleased." And guess what? What did he say? Listen to him. Listen to him. You see the connection? The angel of Mishpatim, the prophet, like Moshe, listen to him. We need to listen to him. You know, let me see if I turn to my next page. 4. Here you go. Yeshua himself said in John 12:49, "For I did not speak of my own, but the Father himself who sent me, he has commanded me to say what I say. And I know that his commandment is everlasting." So here we have something where we have what? 1, 2, 3, 4, now 5 witnesses supporting this tradition, this truth. All these ties together. The disciples are there on the mount with Moshe and Elijah. But this time it's not Moshe, the one that is shining, because he came out of the mountain. Now he has to hide behind the true prophet. And he has to stay quiet, because this prophet, Yeshua HaMashiach, is shining like the sun and is covered in light. And not only that, but the Father says, "This is my son, my beloved son. Listen to him." And Moshe himself has to stay there quiet. His time is over. There's a Messiah in town, a Redeemer. They hear Adonai, and there's no doubt. Now there's no doubt. We must listen to him, because Adonai said so. Period. The same command about this parasha and this angel and the one found in Deuteronomy 18. This is not accident. Listen, The Ruach HaKodesh has been waving these scriptures to make it clear that He, Yeshua, is who brought Israel out of the bondage of slavery through the wilderness and across the sea. Is that new? Hey, brother, you are really pushing the issue here. Well, let's take a look. If this messenger is Yeshua, and Yeshua was there with Israel, then they're the same. Let's take a look at Exodus 14, 19. Let me just take a look at a couple of verses here. Exodus 14, 19. Then the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. So the pillar of cloud moved from in front and stood behind them. That was the Shekinah. To come between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. So you know the situation. We know what's going on here. We have the people of Israel being trapped between the sea. They got the mountains on one side and they got the Egyptians follow. Moshe is kind of wondering, what do I do here? And the Lord says, get your staff and get things going. And then the angel of God moves. Note and see that these are two different entities here. This messenger is the one in the parasha moves among them. He is with the people. But notice that he is not quite recognizable. He's not someone that people see. They're so entangled with Moshe and with the Lord and the lightning and the cloud and the Shekinah and the presence of the Lord. But there among the, and the midst, there is the angel of the Lord. And this angel of the Lord, again, he doesn't have big wings or big clothing because apparently the people did not recognize him. I'm going to show you why they did not recognize him. But if this is not enough to prove my point, there's another example. Let us read Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. I really love this passage. Now it came to pass when Joshua was near Jericho, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there was, listen to this, there was a man standing in front of him with his sword drawn out in his hand. And Joshua approached him and said to him, are you for us or are you part of our adversaries? Are you part of the enemy? Now listen to what this man, standing man, said. Neither, he said. Rather, I have now come as commander-in-chief of Adonai's army. In other words, Joshua, you are not the one leading. I'm in charge. Huh? And Joshua was thinking, I got this. Wow. Then Joshua fell on his face to the ground and worshipped. Then he asked, what is it, my Lord, saying to this servant, to his servant, what is it that you want? Then the commander of Adonai's army replied to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot. The place where you are is holy, it's kadosh. And Joshua hurried up and took his shoes up, and man went down. Amazing. This is no ordinary angel. All right, guys? If you see other angels, then when they approach the prophets and their reaction is to go down, Gabriel and what's the other one? Raphael or whatever they are, they said, do not dare to get down and worship me. I'm just a servant like you. Isn't that right? But this guy, he doesn't say that. This messenger accepts the worship of the leader of the people of Israel. Neat, huh? Beautiful. But you know, the thing is, Joshua did not recognize him. That's the beauty. That's what I found amazing. That's what I found beautiful in this. He could have been out there with a twisted image of angels with wings and here I am, come on. No, he's humbly and he's there and he's standing there quietly. Now, how many of you would love to encounter God in your life? How many times have you been in a situation that you really want to see the Lord saying, hey, I'm here. But it seemed like he's not. You know, put yourself in the shoes of Joshua. And realize that many times he's right there standing next to you. And he's not passive. He has his sword out and he's ready to make battle for you. You don't have to worry about anything. Just get down on your knees and wait. Let him do what he needs to do. He will do it. But many times we take our problems in our hands. And because we don't see him with big wings and a big halo, and because we don't see miracle things, we say, well, he's not around here. He might not be here. Maybe he's doing something else. So we, like good Americans, we take charge and we do what we need to do with our, and we call a lawyer and we call somebody else and come on, let's do this. Let me give you another example of, you know, again, in Judges 13, 17, 18. We're talking here about Manoah, the father of Samson. Judges 13, 17 through 18. And Manoah asked the angel of Adonai, what is your name? Why? Because he did not recognize him. If you notice in this passage, in all the passages with the judges, Gideon is another one. This angel is sitting there, he's quietly and then he realizes this is the angel of the Lord and he brings him a sacrifice. And he burns it. He just consumes it. So my point is that Yeshua was in the middle of the people of Israel in his nature. Quiet, humble, not bragging, but just waiting for the Lord to say, move. And when the Lord said, move, but guess what? He went all the way against the Egyptians, and he took care of business. And many times he might be sitting right next to you, right next to you. And again, he's just one of us. He's looking like a man, gentle, quiet. But we fail to recognize that he is among us. When I read that this passage, that's what kept coming to my mind. How many times I have missed you, Lord? How many times? How many times? And I say, when something happens, I'm just going to praise, and I'm going to declare the word, and I'm going to, And when things comes, I fail to see him. What is your name, he says. Manoah says, what is your name? So that we can come and honor you. But the angel of Adonai said to him, why do you ask for my name? It is wonderful. It is unspeakable. It is incomprehensible. You want a connection with this? Take a look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. You guys should be familiar with this passage. His name is referring to Messiah. This chapter is about Messiah. It says, his name will be called what? Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. That word, wonderful, again goes back to that angel that was there with Manoah. My name is wonderful. The Hebrew is Peleh, Pali, from Peleh. So here we see Isaiah talking about the prophet, talking about Yeshua, the Messiah, Mashiach, and he's using the same term, the same adjective to describe this angel. Now, are we getting all this? We say the Lord has been working with us and will work with us and will continue to do so many things in our life. But again, like Manoah, Gideon, and the people of Israel, many times we miss his presence. Because, you know, prophets and false prophets and people out there and politicians, they want to be noticed. They want to, hey man, here I am, come count on me because I'm going to be this and that and so many promises. And, you know, you hear them all the time on TV. I had to turn the TV off. And I just turn it off. I don't hear TV anymore. You know, people want glory. They want honor. You know, Yeshua, many times, people came to him and he healed them. And he will tell them, do not go out there like the evangelists do, proclaim that I did it. Do you want to write this down and put it on my website so I can tell people that you were healed? Let me just write down. What is your name, that address? By the way, you know, can you send me an offering? You see my point? You see my point? He was humble. He said, it's okay. Give glory. Give glory to who? Give glory to the Father. Give glory to Him. It's not my words. It's not my power. It is His. And you know what? Torah says that you're supposed to take an offering and go to the priest, do Torah, take the offering. I wish I can hear an evangelist say that. How about Israel? How about the nation of Israel? You know, I believe that I have no doubt he has been right in the middle of their battles since 1948. I'm talking about since they became a nation. Because he has been with them throughout. There's a statute in Israel where there is a man, I think he was a teacher or something like that, that wanted to rescue his people, his children, and he was taken to the Holocaust, and he took all his children, and he walked with them into the Holocaust. Have you guys seen that statue standing somewhere in the museum in Israel? That's a nice picture of Yeshua. I can imagine Yeshua embracing his people as they were going into the chambers quietly, walking with them. I'm here with you. I'm here with you. Not with pomp, not with speakers, not with trumpets. I'm here with you. Like Daniel. Thank you, sister. Yes. Hallelujah. In 1948, Israel fought a war that to this point in West Point, they don't want to deal with it. Because they will not. They just can't explain it. There's no strategy on the book that you can come up with to fight and win that battle. I say the angel of the Lord was with them. Hallelujah. They didn't see him. But he was there with his sword drawn, ready. And he did liberate them. The Yom Kippur War. The Six-Day War. The terrorist attack. And you can go on and name it. Even today, he's there. They might not recognize him, but he's there. Isaiah 63:9. All the way through 14. For he says, surely they are my people. Children who will not deal falsely. So he became their savior. Hallelujah. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. So the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and his mercy, he redeemed them. Then he lifted them and he carried them all the days of old. Isn't he Yeshua, the angel of the Lord, the one that carries them out of Egypt? But they rebel and grieve his Ruach HaKodesh, so he turned to become their enemy. That was the warning. That was the warning from the Lord. But he himself fought against them. Then his people remembered the days of old, the days of Moses. Where is he who brought them through the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who put among them his Ruach HaKodesh? Where is he who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of motion? Who divided the waters before them to make for himself a name forever? Who led them through the depths? Like a horse in the desert, they did not stumble. Like the cattle that go down into a valley, the Ruach of Adonai gave them rest. So you led your people to make yourself a glorious name. Return, O Lord, for your servants' sake, the tribes of your heritage. I think it's at the end of the chapter, if not the next one, in the same theme, he says, return and split the mount with your presence and your glory. A reference again to the coming of Messiah, splitting the Mount of Olives. No doubt we are in difficult times. No doubt we are in situations in our lives that many times we would like to see the power of the Lord manifest in things that will get us going. Where we can just jump and, whoa, and yeah, and, you know, look back and say, uh-huh, I got my back covered. I got 50 angels behind me. But that doesn't happen. And I ask myself this question. Though we know that the angel of the Lord is around in the midst of my family, is the angel of the Lord my redeemer around me in my thoughts and my fears? When I have doubts, when somebody's says something that I don't like and I feel offended, or they insult me or they insult us, can we hear his voice? Like, you know, if we go to the first verse, listen closely to his voice. Why? You know, if he would be yelling things, it would be easy. But the thing is, listen closely, because he's talking to you like a friend. I'm with you. I'm with you. Right? Don't worry. I'm with you. He is with us in the midst of our sadness. And I should talk. Let me close. You know, this past week, I had an issue where I got this email, this letter where something is happening that I really don't like concerning my son and some things. And I went into my U.S. government, write an email, and let's just da-da-da-da-da. I'm going to get this going. You know, that took me 2 days, 2 days out of peace. 2 days where I was worried. Thinking, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? Da-da-da-da-da. When I began to look at this, you know, I should have just gone to my knees and said, Lord, this is yours. I'm doing nothing. I'm not asking advice of anybody. I'm going to count on you to take care of this. But I didn't. So you are not alone. Happened to all of us. Let's stand. Hallelujah. How many of you would like to be able to listen to his voice? To be able to see the angel of the Lord in your darkest moment? How many of you would love to see him when you got the army behind you, the sea in front of you, and the mountains on the other side, and you just like, what is going on? Oh, Father, what is going on? I'm desperate. And you got tears in your eyes and you say, what is going on? Watch, the Lord says, watch and look at the angel of the Lord and listen to his voice. He will encourage us. Father of heavens, we lift our voices and we lift our arms to you, Lord, because we need you, Lord. And now we know, we read your Torah, we read your scripture, when we say we have faith, and we say we trust you, and we say, Lord, when something happens, I'm going to put my trust in you. I say it. I tell to my brothers, put your trust in the Lord. But many times, Lord, when things happen, we see everything but you. We see the circumstances but you. We see the sea, but you. We see the army. And we forget that the same army, they could have followed the same Egyptians. There was the angel of death. There were seven plagues that happened. We forget about the other times that you have been with us. Forgive us. And let us walk in the power of your Ruach HaKodesh. Let us, Lord, trust that you are moving from the front of us to behind us to the side to whatever the enemy is coming to attack us. You are putting a barrier and you're saying, I'm here. Let us trust you, Lord. Because many times, we got to confess, oh Lord. We confess. Help us to see the angel of the Lord. Help us to see the angel of the Lord. Lord, I want to see you. We want to see you. Oh Lord. To you be the glory and the honor and the power and the grace and everything else good that we can say through our lips be to you. Hallelujah. 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 Do we have a son worshiping? Do we have a son? Hallelujah. Maybe that one that be blessed in another.